Good morning. Our text this morning will be from Hebrews 12, but turn with me first to 1 Kings chapter 10. First Kings chapter 10. And we'll start reading verse 1. 1 Kings 10, 1. And when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices, and very much gold, and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king, which he told her not. You can turn now to Hebrews chapter 12. Over the last couple of months, I've been in communication with someone that has questions. They have good questions. They have hard questions. And as I've been slowly answering those questions, it dawned on me, I've asked these questions before. And as I considered that, I thought, if I've asked them, if this person's asked them, others have probably asked them too. Could these questions that are being asked be some of the same questions the Queen of Sheba came to Solomon asking? God granted Solomon great wisdom, but we have something he didn't have. We have the completed Word of God. The things that Solomon looked forward by faith and saw are the very same things we look back by faith and see completed. These hard questions, before I get to even the questions, these all have one answer. Hebrews 12, 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Title of this study this morning is The Answer to Hard Questions. And the answer is looking unto the Lord Jesus Christ. All questions concerning the name of the Lord. What is his name? His name is Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth, the Lord Jesus Christ. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Salvation is of the Lord. He is the author. He started it. He is the completer. He finished it. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising. I've often thought despising there just means hating it. Despising it. Look that word up. Despising. Thinking little or nothing of it. Despising the shame. The shame of our sin that he carried for his people. as shame for which he bled and died, as the just for the unjust, so that he might redeem us to God. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He is the victorious, successful, reigning King of kings and Lord of lords, the Almighty God. For every hard question concerning the name of the Lord, there is this answer: look unto the Lord Jesus Christ, and be ye saved. With that being established, let's consider a couple of these hard questions. And we'll start with this one. There is a church on almost every corner. And every one of these churches say, we have the way to God. We are the true church. How do we know which is true? To reduce this to its finest point, is the gospel preached here? Am I proclaiming the gospel? Most of you know I'm a computer programmer by trade. Do you know what a computer understands? True or false? Yes or no? That's all a computer knows. When I'm working on an issue, the thing that I have to get to, regardless of the complications that the business comes to me with, the thing I have to get to is a yes-no answer on everything. It seems as if there are as many religions as there are communities in this world. But turn with me to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6. Galatians 1:6. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Paul declares here there is the truth, the gospel, and there is the lie. There are only two religions, and that is all that's been since Adam fell. Don't turn here. I'm going to flip over. And in Genesis 4, again in verse 2, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. When these two men came to worship, Cain brought the works of his hands from a garden that he had tilled of the cursed ground. A garden he had tilled and he had pruned, and in a word, he had worked that garden. The result, the fruit of that garden that grew out of the cursed ground, Cain brought of that fruit an offering to God. What happened to that fruit, those vegetables that he brought, as soon as he cut them from the vine, plucked them from the tree, got them from that bush? What happened to that fruit? It died. The moment it was separated, it was dead. And he brought it and made this pretty offering of this fruit. But in a day, at most, as it sat under the hot sun, that fruit would have revealed what it was: dead and rotting. There was no life in that fruit. There was no blood. But Abel, he came with a lamb. A lamb which was born and sustained without Abel. He was a keeper of the sheep, yes. He kept them. Basically, he kept them from wandering. That's about all he could do. That lamb had life. Blood flowed through its veins. That lamb was innocent of the sin that Abel came to confess. Abel brought it as an offering, and in shedding its blood, he confessed before God that God is just, that my sins deserve death. I need a sin covering that I cannot provide. I must have a substitute. Without knowing his name, that would be revealed later, Abel looked to the Lord Jesus Christ in his offering. The religions pictured in this account of Cain and Abel are the very same that exist today. One worships and exalts the person and the work of the sinner, the tiller of the ground, and has no blood offering. The other esteems Christ alone above all others, who gave himself and shed his own blood in a sin offering for those he loves. How can we know if we are hearing the true gospel declared? Back here in Galatians 1, verse 3. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and of our Father. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. All churches, all religions cry, grace, peace. If you do. If you avoid doing, grace and peace. But the true gospel declares grace and peace because, verse 4, our Lord Jesus Christ gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom, to Christ, be glory forever and ever. Amen. The hard question: does the church I go to preach the gospel? Who receives the glory? The sinner or the Lord Jesus Christ? Here's another hard question I've been asked and have asked before. How do you know if you're saved? To get to the heart, how do I know if I'm saved? There is no magic simple answer to this question, but everyone whom Christ has mercy on and saves has this in common: looking unto Jesus Christ. Although God deals with each of us individually, he reveals himself to each in a similar manner. Turn with me to John 16. John chapter 16. We'll begin reading verse 7. Nevertheless, this is our Lord speaking. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. In these verses, our Lord has described the work of the Comforter in the redeemed sinner. The man, woman, boy, or girl that the Lord is pleased to reveal and to save them shall have all of this revealed to them. First, they will be made to know what they are: sinners. Their sin will be revealed, not as sometimes I do something bad, not that sometimes I tell a little white lie that doesn't hurt anybody. Their sin will be revealed that they are made to know that with from their very deepest, darkest selves, everything they touch, everything they think, everything they do is nothing but sin, because it's who they are. Secondly, the Lord Jesus Christ will be revealed as he is, who he is. Not as an abstract person, but as a man, a true man, but more, so much more than just a man, the God-man, the holy, immortal God who dwells in a light that no one can approach unto, is the man, Jesus Christ. Not only will we know who he is, but we will be made to know that all sin, that sin that I am, all sin is against Jesus Christ. It's against God. Thirdly, that sinner that God has redeemed will have judgment revealed. Once it's revealed that God is God, that God is just and must punish sin, that all that I am is a sinner and sin. That's all I am. The sinner knows that God is right to punish and should punish us. And we readily confess, I am guilty and I deserve death. Verse 8, and when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Verse 13, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. In the darkness of that soul that Christ redeemed, that the Holy Ghost reveals the true nature of that person, that sin, the true nature of God, the only true and living God, the holy God, against whom we have sinned, and the judgment, the death that we deserve, light breaks forth. And we are caused to cease looking for a remedy within ourselves. But we are caused to look unto the Lord Jesus Christ. God became a man. God took upon himself our nature because we can't take on his. He lived. He became sin. He suffered the judgment on our behalf. He satisfied the law and justice of God. He receives all the glory. Writing to Timothy, Paul said, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause, I, the chief of sinners, obtained mercy, that in me first, Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern, for an example, to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting." Paul says, to those wondering what it looks like when the Lord saves a sinner, look at the way the Lord revealed himself to me. Look to that as an example. So let's do that. Turn over to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, verse 1. "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem." We tend to read these words and think how awful Saul was. But let's be careful how we judge men and women. If it wasn't for God's restraining hand, that'd be me today. And more so if he allowed it. Verse 3. "And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." Here God reveals himself to Saul as he is, the Almighty God, the Lord Jesus Christ. He revealed to Saul his sinful state, and that his sin, although he was carrying out his desire towards the Lord's people, was against God alone. Verse 7. "And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man." God deals with us individually. We may be in the midst of men who even the world at large considers most vile, such as those men hanging on the cross, or in the midst of the congregation of redeemed sinners. The Lord will deal with us as individuals. Verse 8, "And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. I don't know much about others' conversions, but speaking for myself, when the Lord was dealing with me, I was a most miserable person, and I couldn't get relief from friends or family, though they tried. Verse 17. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way, as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. In my misery, at the appointed time, the Lord sent his message to me through a man preaching the gospel. One day, as I sat listening to a preacher that I had heard so many times before, from a passage of scripture that I had heard preached from many times before, suddenly I heard and saw the Lord Jesus Christ in that passage of scripture. I saw him as the Redeemer I had to have, and by his grace, I continue to this day, looking unto him who gave himself. He gave all. He, the King, became the servant. He, the just, was made sin. He, life, shed his blood and laid down his life. He, the judge of all the earth, bore justice on our behalf. He who is all surrendered all to the salvation of us nothings. How do I know if I'm saved? Has the Lord Jesus Christ been made all to you? Well, do you answer? I'm not sure. Others seem so confident, so sure about their salvation, but I'm just not sure. Is there anything I can do? Look unto Jesus. Go before him in prayer. Pour out your heart and ask him to reveal to you who you are, who he is, and ask him to have mercy and to save you. Do we ever really get beyond that? Paul, the Apostle Paul, in his latter years said, Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul continued looking unto the Lord Jesus Christ. As we poor sinners have these hard questions come to our minds, for there are many more than this to be asked. May the Lord be pleased to cause our answer to be looking unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And may he cause us to turn to him, to seek him, and may he be pleased to answer us through his word. Pray that's a blessing.